Happy Wednesday, Technically Female Tribe. It's Jasmine again for the Technically Female podcast episode. We are in our hashtag Ally August season. This is the last episode for our series. And last but certainly not least, I have a good friend of mine, Scott Lilly, who is an inclusion and diversity business partner at Apple. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey, Jasmine, and hey, community.
The tribe is super excited, and if you're not excited, you should be, because Scott has a lot of great insight and wisdom to provide to you all today. So let's start off with who are you? What's your background? Give some details to the tribe about who you are.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I am a proud son of Mike and Carol Lilly, and I was born and raised on the East Coast, Charlotte, North Carolina native. Also have a sister. But I point that out, Jasmine, because so often, you know, as I was reflecting on the questions that you sent over, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about who are we always tend to define ourselves by what we do.
Exactly.
And you know, where I'm at in my career, and as I'm on my journey still, I have come to think less of titles. Titles matter, and they're important. But I think, and especially in this day and age, and kind of the topic we're going to get into, we really need to start by just talking about who we are. So mm-hmm. I say that because also contextually, there's so much going on in the world that we're defined by a headline or a gunshot black man, mm-hmm. and I'm a proud black man who has two great parents that I'm fortunate that are still alive. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of who I am. I start with that, but
I love it. You know, we need more of that.
Obviously, people want to know, you know, really what do I do? And so, as you mentioned, I'm an inclusion and diversity business partner, and really focused on working with various lines of business here at the company to help them create, you know, action plans from the full talent life cycle mm-hmm. that starts obviously at hiring and then all the way through, you know, promoting and rewarding and engaging people. So I'm really excited about having that opportunity, and my journey has been interesting, but I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk to you today, friend.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think so often we, to your point earlier, we lead off with the company, and I know I like almost like a lot of things that I have going on in my life, people don't know. They're like, oh, you're this, you're that. I'm like, I'm Jasmine. I'm from North Carolina. You know, if anyone has ever met me, they know I'm from North Carolina, like through and through. You got to rep the East Coast. Like, that's important because it's the best coast. Sorry, West Coast people, but it is. And so I love that you say that. And so one thing that's been a big, I'll even say buzzword, the last 6 or so months with everything going on with what we've been calling the justice moment is allyship. And it just so happens that I was already planning to do hashtag Ally August, but so timely that everything that's going on in the world has really put a huge focus in what an ally is. And so I want to start with, you know, in your opinion, what is an ally and what is true allyship? And I know a lot of the tribe would love to hear, and even those that aren't a part of the tribe but are interested would love to hear, like, what that is.
Yeah, you make a great point that there is a lot of conversations right now coming out of the justice moment and moving into the movement around how individuals can support currently the black community, but all underrepresented and marginalized communities. And, mm-hmm. And this word ally and allyship comes up a lot. And so, you know, I have the fortunate privilege to do some work in this area and lead discussions. And so I'm going to, you know, mix what we position it as, but also, you know, some of what I really think this is about. And I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think the first thing is it's a word, you know, an ally. And I think one of the most critical things about this is how you have to think about how you can turn it into action, mm-hmm. Because it's not something that you bestow upon yourself. Mm-hmm. It is something that you work towards. I would say I am not an ally, but I'm working constantly to be an ally. Mm-hmm. It's daily. It's a daily work, or daily work. It's a daily project that you have to show up and do those critical things. And I throughout my career and my background, and we'll get into that a little bit. You know, obviously I'm in tech, but I've had opportunities in non-tech, in nonprofit, as well as you know, started in my career in commercial real estate. So that's very interesting. But really, allyship is really, you know, it's almost like that phrase they say, Jeff, you know, what do you do when people aren't looking? And that's really similar to what being an ally is about, because, you know, clearly being an ally is there when someone needs you, whether that's to speak up for them, or they're coming to you with a concern. That could be your job, though, right? That could just be that's what you're supposed to do. But really, it's about what happens when that person that needs your support or allyship, so to speak, quote unquote, is not in the room. And that's when it really matters. And I think this is where you see, you know, whether that's in politics, when people are not in the room and they're advocating on behalf of their constituents, right? They're being an ally to that group. Or whether you are on a hiring panel and or you're in a conversation and you recognize young talent, or doesn't even have to be, you know, by age or tenure. It could just be someone who has a ton of potential and you're in the room and you have an opportunity when you're at the table to advocate for them. So that's what allyship is. And it really starts from this place of knowing that it's a journey and recognizing that you have to be curious, right? You have to be insatiably curious to be a great ally, because it is not a monolith, right? Every person that you're going to support is going to be different.
Yeah, I love the part that you mentioned on ally to action. It's not a noun. It is a, like, physical thing that you consistently do. And depending on who you're trying to ally to action for, it could be different, right? It could be a different way if it's a female. It could be different if it's someone in a different racial demographic. It could be different if it's someone that's younger than you, like thinking about, like, how do you maneuver through that? And then another thing I picked up of what you said is, like, it's kind of intrinsic, right? Like, it's got to be internal to you. It's the unspoken movement or advocacy that you provide to someone. And it's not because, you know, you get the credit or the check, I've been a great ally today, but it's because it should be more of, you know, true allyship is like, it's because of who you are as a person, right? And most people are more receptive to it being that's who you are versus, oh, like, checked it off today, or, oh, like, am I being a good ally now? Like, that can always tend to provide a more negative connotation for those that you're supporting. And when you were saying, you know, it's about those that aren't in the room speaking on your behalf, I think about Drake. I don't know why this song's in my head, but like, but were you with me shooting in the gym, right? Like, it's the good, the bad, the ugly. Like, I'm supporting you no matter what, unconditionally, right? Unconditionally to what the world says, unconditionally to how I feel about you at this moment. I may be mad at you, but I'm there for you through and through. So that's what I took from what you just said. And tell me if I'm totally off base. I maybe have went on a tangent there, but.
No. You picked up a lot of the great points there. And I would, you know, also add, and what you summarized there is that it requires courage. That is probably the biggest thing, in addition to being curious, in addition to being a journey and a work in progress, is it requires courage, because generally when you're there to really show up and support someone, or being an ally, let's take, for example, being in a meeting and, you know, someone's out there, and I'll use the gender dynamics now.
Okay.
Right now. So let's say you know, are a male in a room, and you have been really, you know, mentoring and coaching a woman or someone who identifies as female employee, and you know that they have the talent, and you know that there's an opportunity, and the conversation turns to, well, who can lead this project, right? The business is going in this direction, a decision is being discussed, and it always is inevitably going to come down to the people. Well, you've got to have the courage in that moment to speak up for that person that's not in the room. And the reason you got to have courage, whether that's in a work setting, or whether that's in a social justice setting, or whether that's in a, you know, any situation, is because generally speaking, it puts something at risk for you personally.
Right.
And if you're not willing to have the courage to face that, hey, me advocating or supporting or being an ally to someone may mean that I lose something, that can be the moment in which people really, you know, are looking to check the box, or are they really, to your point, doing it because it's the right thing to do?
And it says a lot about the people in the room and the decision makers, right? Like, it says a lot about their judgment, their willingness, as we say all the time, to lean in, to be different, and to potentially have to deal with naysayers, right? Like, because to your point, like, it takes courage to maybe go against the grain, to maybe think differently, to maybe suggest maybe a female that may not have been suggested before, and you may get, not backlash, but, like, you know, questions, or, you know, well, why would you say that, or why would you choose her? And so you got to be not only courageous, but strong in your thoughts and your movements as well.
Yeah, and know that person. It requires you to, that's where that curiosity comes in, because curiosity is not just about going and reading about allyship, but curiosity is about learning who this person is, understanding, you know, to your point, I know some of your passions, you know, in our conversations, because we not only just talk about work, but we talk about a number of things.
Yeah.
You know, you may have shared with the tribe, you know, you're a huge football fan.
Yep.
So I get it. I understand that, you know, that is something that we connect and we bond over it. And I can, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, I can shoot you a note and joke you, or I can shoot you a note and just be like, you know, sad face. But those are the moments, because I have done that curiosity and I've done that learning and recognize the things that are important to you from a professional and personal, then I'm able to be that ally, because you don't just be an ally to someone just because you want to. You be an ally because you know them, you believe in them, and you see that potential, and you're saying, hey, they may not have all the things on the job description, but I think we should, you know, not go with the traditional model here.
Right.
Let's step outside of the box.
Right, 100%. It's knowing that person, you know, personal, professionally, and being wanting to support them in that way. And so you talked a little bit about, like, your overall experience. We know you're in tech now, you had experience in nonprofit and then in real estate, and obviously all three of those environments are very different, at least I would assume so, maybe not, but can you talk a little bit about the fundamental differences you saw of how women were either supported or not supported, whether it's in real estate, tech, or the nonprofit space, and what does that look like from what you can tell?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I started my career in commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's very similar to commercial real estate and tech is just the lack of representation, in particular at the leadership level. So it's helped me move into tech, because I have experience recognizing being in environments where I may be the only, or there may be a individual who's a woman who's the only. And so I got that very early on in my career, and kind of, instead of looking at it as a negative, I started looking at it as a thing, and then what could I do to influence that. So I just wanted to just give that context in terms of the similarities. As I have, you know, as I think about your question, starting in commercial real estate, I was in corporate, and then I went into nonprofit, and then I went back, now I'm back in corporate. One thing that I would say is, for me, what's interesting about allyship in women is I have found that women tend to be, you know, very good allies. In particular, they have been to me. So I've had opportunities provided to me because I've had my first job. I actually had an individual, a woman, who tapped me. It was like, you have way too much potential, and I'm going to pull you up. And that really, you know, launched my career and kicked it off. And that was a lesson that I learned, in that when you see somebody, you just help them, right? And if you really see something that's unique and value add to the organization, it taught me that here's someone who was in a very male-dominated, you know, in particular white male-dominated industry, and she was willing to take a chance on me. So that was like my first lesson in allyship, is that someone did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That planted the seed in me to say, no matter where I go, when I get in a position to help others, I'm going to always try to open up the door behind me.
Oh,
100%. And so that's my personal philosophy around allyship is, you know, whether that's long-term relationship and you're being an ally over time, or if you're just someone who sees someone and can open up the door. So that's where I start, Jasmine. But okay. I will tell you, I started my career in 2001, and now fast forward almost 20 years later, come next year.
Wow.
I still see these conversations being had around, you know, women feeling like they're the only person. And I think the difference in tech is that generally in commercial real estate, it was more of the general white, black race issue.
Right.
It's expanded, of course. But I think in tech, what you have is you have a variety of demographics. You may have a team that's all with individuals who identify as Asian, and there's one woman on the team. Right. And so how do you be an ally to that? So that's something that I see is different, in that there's a cultural difference in allyship in tech than it is in kind of some other traditional industries.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the dynamics are a lot different, definitely, in tech, because I almost see tech as like a melting pot, right? Like, you can get a little bit of everybody in tech, and whether there's an appetite for that depends on the organization. But like to your point of, you know, it's being something that is still a topic of conversation. Like 20 years later, we're still talking about how do you support women. And the point you mentioned about bringing people up from behind you, or like seeing potential in others, is something I've definitely had to learn through my career. Is like, you know, other people have brought me up, and I always call my students, but I don't teach them, but like my kids that I like try to help through and encourage. I always tell them, like, you know, I didn't do this by myself. Like, someone saw potential in me and brought me up. I see potential in you. Like, I'm here to help as much as I possibly can. And that mentality is not a mentality that a lot of people have, but it's the mentality that really can be successful two ways for you. Successful for you internally, to feel like, man, I'm really making a difference in someone's life, to the outside of, man, to that person, you're really helping me out. You just don't even know what you're doing to support me. And so support looks different, and allyship looks different in different ways, but not being afraid to shy away from just a conversation. It could be a 10-minute conversation. Like, I always have random conversations with people I've never met in my life, and they're like, you really impacted me. And I'm like, I didn't do much of anything. But to them, it's a lot. To you, maybe a little, but like being willing to give back and help others along your journey is just so, so important.
It's so surprising to people, because we each day get further and further away from humanity and a level of authenticity. Mm-hmm. And technology is to blame for that, right? When you look at, we have these devices in our hands, and smartphones came about, and it really changed the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't grow up in a period. I mean, I was in the back half of you know, being a Gen X, and so I didn't have a cell phone. But now, I mean, I've got friends who they're thinking about giving their 7-year-olds a smartphone.
Yeah,
and so the way they're engaging and interacting is why people feel so. If you just look at history, and you look at, especially in communities, you know, I've been doing a lot of interesting watching of PBS around the women's suffrage movement. And this was before, like, it was, you know, the 100th anniversary last week.
Right.
It was just something that I was interested in. The reason I called my mother early on is she was someone and an individual who I also saw be an ally to a lot of individuals, right? You know, 5'2", and has been running her own business in construction. So, you know, you think about a black woman 35 plus years ago in the construction industry. I mean,
unicorn.
I talk about like the world that we're in today is so different than that world. And so I saw her fight and advocate and be an ally and tell people honestly, like, I can help you, but you got to get better. Mm-hmm, right. And having that authentic conversation. And today, if you say something that somebody doesn't like or feels offended, you know, you're a tweet away. It moves so fast. And so I think that's a negative to tech, because the pace of information is moving so fast mm-hmm. that individuals who really want to be allies and have good intentions, they're afraid. And I think that, you know, we as men have to be comfortable recognizing that it might be uncomfortable, you know, being supportive of women, mm-hmm. but you've got to dive into that anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And push through that uncomfortableness. Whereas in nonprofit, and you asked me about my time there, mm-hmm. you know, I worked at an organization primarily that supported historically Black colleges and universities. So the Thurgood Marshall College Fund mm-hmm. organization, I had the fortunate privilege to be there for 8 years. And I mean, my day job was to help individuals and you know, it was nothing for me to help. I remember hiring, you know, young individuals that we would meet on campus and mm-hmm. then moved into an internship and then moved into, I know one specifically where, you know, she was interviewed for a program and then we put her in a student ambassador position and mm-hmm. represented TMCF on our campus. And then we had an internship role open up. And then it was, you know what? She was like, I need a job and I'm going to go work. I could go work at the mall or right. I could come work there. And so initially it was, but you're still in school. You haven't graduated. And she's like, well, I can handle both. And so we basically figured out a way to make it work. And it really wasn't that difficult. It was really just sitting back and saying, here's what the expectations are. As long as you can meet both of these and you stay on track to graduate, we will support you. You know, and I felt very proud when I look back about helping that individual with that, you know, journey that then moved up and took on bigger roles and supported me from a program standpoint, mm-hmm. eventually going off and now she's, you know, having a successful career at another nonprofit. That's so awesome. I think nonprofits tend to have in their spirit the spirit of service. Mm. So it's easier to, I think, find these ways to be advocates. I think there's still the power dynamics and the leadership, you know, challenges that that for-profits have. The main thing that I think about a nonprofit, one that's run very well, we used to have this mantra, our former CEO would say, no money, no mission. And I think that's true, right? People typically think of nonprofits as, oh, well, no money. they shouldn't make big salaries and all the money should go into the programs. And I say, no, if all we're doing is we are doing and running a business, we're just not paying shareholders and we get a tax benefit from it. So why should a corporation be able to get the best talent to execute its mission, but a nonprofit not?
Yep.
Right. And so I would have that conversation because I knew we needed to do the best to attract the best talent possible to do this mission driven work. And what ends up happening is people want to, you know, you will go and buy something at a retail and pay that crazy markup because it's like, oh, it's a corporation.
Right.
But if you think I'm marketing up in nonprofit to cover my overhead, you think that I'm mismanaging funds. Right. And that's something that I think, you know, has to change, but that impacts the ability, right? From a core, ultimately nonprofits are generally designed to help people. So it's, you see more allyship and advocacy for women.
No, that makes sense. And I think another point that you hit on, you didn't directly say it, but I heard it, was perspective, right? Like the conversations are uncomfortable from a male to a female, but also as a male, you provide a perspective that may be helpful to that female. And I just think about a conversation I had a few weeks ago with the male, and we were on video and we were talking about a topic that could be seen as controversial, and he was very uncomfortable. It was a white male, I'm a black female, and you could see the uncomfortableness in his face. They're like, I don't know if I want to say this, she may like jump down my throat. And, you know, he basically flat out said, you know, I don't know what to say. Like, it's not that I don't feel like this is important, but I don't know what to say that's politically correct. And so my rebuttal to that was like, that's saying something. Like, that's better than saying nothing. And you could just see the weight lift off of his shoulders of, oh, wow, like, I don't have to have the answer or the solve for the topic at hand, but, like, she's aligned to me, and it completely changed the dynamic of our conversation because, you know, he provided that perspective that I didn't think of. We're like, hey, I don't know what to say. I didn't think about it that way. I'm expecting a reaction or something from you, but, like, truly, you just don't know what to say, which is an answer in itself, too. Not a bad one, but just, like, perspective.
Well, And what that does, and I think what you did in that moment is in this conversation of it allowed for conversation to occur.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, going back to that level of curiosity and allyship, the conversation has to happen. And I by no means want to provide people who provide any, racist, sexist, or mm-hmm. any type of behavior. I don't condone it.
Right.
I also recognize, though, there are times where people genuinely mess up, mm-hmm. right? They don't, sure. They truly are, ignorant about mm-hmm. a topic. And if you look at that definition, it really is fundamental. You don't know something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I recognize that if that's what it is, let me use this as an opportunity for us to kind of talk and educate, because I may learn something. I mean,
exactly.
The number of times I've had a conversation, with women and I learn something, again, it feeds that curiosity. And then I take it and put it in my bank, in my computer, right? Mm. My mental computer. But do I show up in every experience to project that? No. I then go into the next one with a little insight and hopefully a way to whoever I'm dealing with or speaking with in that moment, I can use it, but I still cater it to the individual I'm talking to.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's like it's not a plug and play, sounds bad, but it's like a plug and play. Like, where does this make the most sense? And where can I feel this? And so, we talked a little bit about allyship, how to be an ally, what that looks like in different environments. And we talked that, there is obviously some disparities and a little bit of gaps in regards to, women in tech. And so, this is gonna be a really hard question, but we'll see what you give to me. But like, if you could have your magic wand of fix it Jesus for the disparities that exist for women in tech, and you could solve one with one thing, how would you solve it? What would be your fix?
Mm.
Yeah, I know, hard one. And maybe the answer's still unwritten.
Yeah, I think there's a fix. The complication in the fix is that. Mm. Someone will be perceived as losing.
Mm.
If I had my magic wand, I'd just change the dynamic and I'd immediately have it be, at least 50% women
right.
at the table, right. period.
Yeah.
But that requires men giving up seats. Yeah. And I say this, and I've said this before in many situations, this topic of privilege comes up all the time, and mm-hmm. it typically comes in this form of white people have all this privilege, and, mm-hmm. and that is true, and they by the innate essence of their skin color, they have privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have privilege,
true.
Right? Like, what if there's a black man at that table and he has to give up his seat
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that 50%?
Yeah.
And so... Privilege is one of those things that doesn't come as something that's easily just giving up. I would ask the tribe, if you bought a regular, coach ticket on one of the airlines, non-Southwest, because they don't have this, and you went to the airport and somehow you realized, and when you checked in, you got upgraded to first class. Didn't cost you anything. You didn't do anything. Would you go to that gate, turn to the person behind you and say, I'm giving up my ticket to you to
no,
sit
sir.
In first class?
No, sir. Love you, but no,
right?
sir.
So that is the, what if I could wave my magic wand is, I would do it overnight, but it's just that if I waved it, I would wave it so that the solution gets fixed and that people's egos are also adjusted in the process.
Yeah,
that would be my
good.
Magic wand.
I love that. Yeah, and I love that you, and not a bad answer because I don't have the answer, but the talks of it, it's complex, right? There's different layers, there's different facets to it, and there's not a one solved thing. And I think there's so many people in this world, they're like, oh, we can just fix it by doing this. It's like, well, there's levels to this. And so coming into the issue with that mindset of this is complex, you got to take it bit by bit, and you can't just, have the answer and fix it. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't be talking about this, right? We wouldn't have a need to talk about this in my podcast. But it's how you approach it and how you think about it is important. And so this has been so helpful, I think, for me and definitely for the tribe, I can only imagine. And so at the end of every episode, I always ask my guests to provide a word to the wise. So it can be a word, a statement, a poem, a quote, a rap. No one's rapped. I'm just going to stop saying that because no one's going to do it. But, just something to leave the tribe to empower them as they're going through their journey. And you know, I think you've given a lot of great empowerment to them, but what would you leave them with?
Yeah, if I'm going to do two,
Cool.
and they kind of tie together with this concept of allyship. First is, and I think this is for everybody, and particularly in this time, but as you're doing any of this work, and if you're just trying to be a good leader, find time to slow down, to speed up. We, especially in tech, like, everything is a problem and a formula to solve, and we feel like once we've solved it, we're on to the next thing. Even in our careers, right? Especially younger in our careers, always, what's the next thing? I need to be moving. I need to be, everybody in the tribe is probably looking for this growth and advancement. But the question is why? So that ability to slow down and speed up will help them answer what they're on the destination for. It could be money. It could be power. It could be respect. It could be fame. I don't know, but just be really clear. And the only way to do that is to slow down. When it comes to this, and so the next thing I would say is, once you get in, remember to open up the door for somebody behind you, whether that's someone from the community, same gender, whatever. I don't care, but open up a door for someone. And I think by slowing down and speed up, one, you will understand your why. And then when you open up a door for someone behind you, eventually we will start to see that we don't always have to look to men, for example, to help. We don't have to look to white people to help solve certain problems, right? We can do this. And in particular for the Black community, it's our legacy. It's our ancestors. We've had so many people open up doors for us to have the privileges we have. We, as in our generation, have to do the same thing. And so I think the more you start doing that, I'm not saying, you know, do anything discriminatory or illegal, but research has shown that the, you know, women and unrepresented leaders typically have more diverse teams, which typically have higher performance. So, you know, just get in the seat, get in, and once you get in, make sure that you help somebody else get in, and let's keep this cycle going.
Yeah, no, I love it. Those are all good things. I love the slow down to speed up, because I think definitely in tech and definitely in STEM, I can imagine everyone's moving a mile a minute. But if we slow down and process, and COVID has really pushed people to slow down, and whether they wanted to or not. But I think that's really important. And of course, to open the door for the person behind you is so, so good. So good. So I'm just so grateful that we had a huge ally in my career, Scott, kind of give us some gems to the tribe. And as you all know, if you're interested in learning more about the podcast or being a guest on the Technically Female podcast, don't hesitate to send an email to technicallyfemale@gmail.com. Until next time, tribe, remember to share the STEMinism.